The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Drop, and I'm your host, Katie Drop. Well, man, this was another great week of football. We have had some craziness going on. I mean, it's still so close. There really is still not a runaway. Teams that you thought were falling back came back these last couple of weeks. Teams that you thought might be getting going, looking solid, then they start falling off. And then, of course, you have the usual suspects, the Miami Dolphins sucking ass, and the New York Jets, too. Just a couple of these teams that just are just terrible and have obviously no chance of anything this season. But then it's just like everybody else is in the mix. So let's get right into it, where we had our last London game of the season. It was the Los Angeles Rams versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. And got to say, if you were a Rams fan, you at least got a good show. But the Jaguars might be turning back into the old Jaguars because, you couldn't tell if we could really trust this team. Defensively, definitely can, but offensively, definitely cannot. They were only able to muster up 7 points in this game. Meanwhile, the Rams were able to get 35. So it was Rams win 35-7, and it was just all Rams all day. There was nothing good about this game from the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially on the offensive side of the ball. It was Stafford just throwing up bombs. Davante Adams had a couple of touchdowns. It was just a huge day for the Rams. Now, I will say, rookie Travis Hunter for the Jaguars finally had his breakout game of the season. He had 101 yards and a touchdown, but he was the only touchdown of the day for the Jaguars. So they definitely have some soul-searching to do on the offensive side of the ball in Jacksonville. But the Rams looked pretty damn good in this one. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Chicago Bears, and it was pretty much all Bears all day. They got the win 26-14. Swift, man, he seems to be really getting going in the running game for the Bears. Every time he has a good game, they seem to be getting a win. As a matter of fact, they've won 4 straight games right now, and Swift has had 124 yards and a touchdown in this last game. And defensively, oh my God, they just had a ton of turnovers yesterday. I believe they had 6 turnovers total. I know they had 4 forced fumbles, a few sacks. They just really turned it on defensively and then just were able to get things done on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I know the Saints are a terrible ass team, but still, the Bears got a big win over the Saints. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns, and things just got worse for the Dolphins. They got their asses beat 31-6. Cleveland Browns, not a very good team. Quinshon Judkins, their running back, 84 yards and 3 touchdowns. This guy fitting right in with this team. He's scoring. Every time he gets in the game, this guy is a huge, he's just a huge source of offense for them, and he definitely is something to build off for this team in the future. The Dolphins, though, what the fuck? Tua had 3 more interceptions yesterday. Terrible interceptions, man. They were those, like, what are you doing interceptions. And then he got pulled, and they put Ewers in. And on Ewers' first drive, it was a 3 and an out. And, you know, he goes to the sideline, and you usually expect the coach to walk over, or the offensive coordinator, especially the coach. So you expect them to kind of just like give them some type of encouragement. And McDaniels just literally almost shoulder checks the dude and just walks away. I'm like, you might be the problem. And the funny thing is, dude still has his job, and he just announced today that Tua is still going to be starting next week. So things continue to go down the drain in Miami and are not getting better. And it was just weird. But hey, good for the Browns. They got a big win, 31-6, and just absolutely obliterated the Dolphins and had a great day and got a really solid win, something that they could use. I mean, I don't think they're going to get a lot of wins. And so, hey, at least they got one really great win against the Dolphins. Then we had the New England Patriots at the Tennessee Titans, and the Patriots do what the Patriots do over the Titans, especially. They got the win 31-13. Drake May, he's just been very, very efficient. He's been very solid this season. He is just starting to command this offense and really make things difficult for the opposing defense. Ramondre Stevenson also had a good game on the ground, 88 yards and a touchdown. The Titans actually didn't look as terrible as they've looked. You know, they fired their coach last week, so you kind of expect a little bit of a spark, and they did have a little bit of a spark. They actually had a lead on the Patriots in this one. It was 10-3, and then everything turned around, and the Patriots got back in order. But the Titans had a little bit more of a spark on offense, but they still looked as shitty as they normally do. Speaking of shitty, we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs won 31-0. Patrick Mahomes had practically a perfect game, 26 for 35, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns. Isaiah Pacheco, 57 yards on the ground and a touchdown. This was Rashee Rice's first game back. He had a couple of touchdowns himself. As a matter of fact, I think he had all 3 touchdowns from Mahomes in this one. So, yeah, the Chiefs got the win 31-0. The Raiders weren't even able to muster up any points in this one. This season keeps getting worse for the Raiders as well. They are just another team where you're like, what's going on here? And it's just weird. The teams that are bad this year are just bad. And like I keep saying, there's a lot of parity in the league this year, but those teams that are bad, and the Raiders are one of those teams, they are just bad. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the Minnesota Vikings. This is by far probably the best game Jalen Hurts has had in his entire career. He had a perfect quarterback rating, went 19 for 23, 326 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And I mean, he was wheeling and dealing. He had some passes that were just so beautiful, so precise. And it was crazy. And then Devontae Smith had a career day, 183 yards and a touchdown. And the Eagles got the win 28-22. Carson Wentz, gotta say, this guy looks like straight trash. I mean, the interceptions this dude has been throwing, he had one yesterday where he just bombed it up. And before the camera could even pan to where it was going, as soon as he threw it up, I was like, that's an interception. And guess what? It was an interception. It was an easy interception, too. It was practically like a punt. And the cornerback, or the guy in the secondary, the defender, he actually just was just stood right under it, basically fair caught the ball, and then ran it back. He didn't run it back for 6. There was another one, though, where that was ran back for pick 6. But Carson Wentz looks like trash. So I don't know what the Vikings are going to do until J.J. McCarthy gets back. You know, McCarthy didn't look that great to start the season, but I got to keep it real. I don't know how worse it could be. Just Wentz looks bad. I just don't think that dude is a good quarterback at all, and I just think they got to get McCarthy in the game because I think he can't even get the ball to Justin Jefferson, for Christ's sake. I mean, if you're just even a halfway decent quarterback, just toss it up to Jefferson. The dude's got like a 50-50 shot at getting the ball. Probably even more like 60-40 shot him. So, you know, like just toss it up to Jefferson. You might get something going. But even so, this Eagles team is difficult, but just Wentz is terrible. He's got a lot of, like I said, he's got a lot of weapons to work with on the offensive side of the ball. So to me, and the Vikings were pretty much in this game for a good chunk of it. The Eagles had the lead the whole way. This was their game, but the Vikings were in it. They were in it, and they could have easily stayed in it. It's just, Wentz is just trash. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the New York Jets. The Panthers got the win, 13-6. Bryce Young, 15 for 25, 138 yards and a touchdown. Unfortunately, he left the game with an injury. Looks like he's going to miss this next game due to a sprained ankle. Rico Dowdle was slowed down this game. You know, his last two games, he's busted out for over 200 yards. Well, only 79 yards in this one. But still, man, the Jets are another team that are just reeling. They actually took Justin Fields out of this game. But I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is going to be your savior. They're kind of the exact same quarterback, in my opinion. It's just the Jets, they are not a talented team. This is a brand new team, y'all. This is a team that's in rebuilding, so I'm not really surprised. I don't really understand why people are surprised that they're this terrible. They were going to have a lot of growing pains, and I just kind of feel like you might as well keep Fields out there because I don't think Tyrod Taylor is any better than Fields. And he came in and didn't provide them any spark on offense. They still lost. So Panthers, like I said, they are going to play these close ones and may walk away with the win or may walk away with a loss. And this week it was another win. Crazy game of the week, though. Went to the New York Giants at the Denver Broncos. In the fourth quarter, the Broncos were down 19-0. This game was completely dominated by the Giants. From start to finish, they were able to just stay in it. Their defense was playing well. And then all of a sudden, and I mean, when the Broncos turned it on in the fourth quarter, it was like with 6 minutes left to go. It was just, it's one of the most insane, improbable comebacks you will ever fucking see in your life. But basically, the Broncos just chipped away. You know, they scored. It was 19-0. And then they just go down and score. They get the 2 points, 19-8. Then they get an interception. And they score again. And they're just closing in and closing in. And all of a sudden, they got the lead. But rookie Jackson Dart, just guides his team down the field. He even has this crazy, crazy fourth down pass in which he's just able to just do some crazy Jackson Dart shit that he's doing and just get it down there. And they're able to score. They're able to take the lead 32-30 at this point. There's only, like, I think, like 38 seconds left to go. So the Broncos have a pretty outside shot at getting this, but all they got to do is get in field goal range because, unfortunately for the Giants, they missed the extra point, and that would cost them this game. So the Broncos are able to convert two immediate first downs, big bomb first downs. One, boom, right up the sideline, dude goes out of bounds. Next one, boom, another big chunk play right up the sideline. I don't think it was up the sideline. Maybe it was. Regardless, they were able to either down the ball, call timeout, whatever. Just get right up there and bring their field goal kicker in. And he walks in, knocks down the field goal, and the Broncos get to win 33-32. The look on Jackson Dart's face is just, I feel him, man. Because, A, this team was leading the whole way, riding high. And then he leads them to this crazy comeback in the fourth quarter, and it's like, you only got 38 seconds left to go. I mean, yeah, anything could happen, obviously. But hey, man, our defense has been playing great this whole game, blah, blah, blah. And they just give it up. And it just is crazy, but the Broncos got the win. Jackson Dart, 15 for 33, 283 yards and 3 touchdowns. But man, what a game. And it was funny, too, because I'm watching a different game at this time. And Tom Brady is the announcer, and he's saying in the game that I'm watching, because there's a big point disparity and it's the fourth quarter, and he's talking about all you got to do is just chip away. All you got to do is score points. All you got to do is get a defensive stop. Then you got to score. And he's like talking about the process because, you know, he's Tom Brady and he's done it 1.5 million times. And I'm even laughing like, dude, shut the fuck up. The only way this team's coming back is if you walk down there and win it for him. Now, granted, the game I'm watching, they did not come back. It didn't happen that way. But simultaneously, this Broncos game is going on, and I'm seeing the score, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then when I see what happens and the way it ended, I'm just like, dude, you just shut the fuck up when Tom Brady's talking, because the dude knows what he's talking about. And that's exactly what the Broncos did. They just chipped away at a lead, scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. And not in the fourth quarter, in like the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. This game didn't even go into overtime, y'all. What a crazy turn of events in that one. And yeah, just a great game. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think the Colts are for real. I think we can now officially make the Colts for real because they got another big win, 38-24. This one was not close. It was all Colts all day. Gonna continue to reiterate, though, Jonathan Taylor. This guy keeps it up. This team keeps on winning. Here is his stat line for the day. 94 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns. So that's a big deal. But Daniel Jones, got to give this dude a shout out too. He is really playing solid football. just really taking care of business, finding the open dudes, not making a lot of mistakes, especially in the red zone. And like I said, Jonathan Taylor is just knocking it out the park. Their defense is making some big plays as well. I mean, the numbers that Justin Herbert ended up with yesterday, you would think he won. 37 for 55, 420 yards and 3 touchdowns. Got the loss. But so I look at this Colts team and I'm like, Jonathan Taylor keeps it moving. He keeps doing what he's doing. This Colts team ain't nothing to fuck with. And they've got a solid lead. They're 6-1 in their division. They should easily run away with this division at this point. But like I said, healthy Jonathan Taylor. Defense seems to be getting better each and every week. Daniel Jones is holding it down. I think we now have to officially take the Colts seriously. They have beat some good teams. They have beat some bad teams. They have had some crazy wins. It's been a roller coaster season for them, but they're 6-1. They look great. They look solid. They're taking care of business. And the Chargers, not a terrible team, but man, this team's starting to, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's the injuries or if they're just not able to put it together, but they're not looking like a put-together team right now. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the Arizona Cardinals, and the Packers were almost stunned in this one. As a matter of fact, man, the Cardinals were holding it down all the way up until the fourth quarter. They were the ones in the lead. Jacoby Brissett, he got the start at quarterback again, and he might be just that journeyman backup, but you put him in the game, he's reliable. He just goes out there, just plays the game. He knows how to get the ball out there. He knows how to read the defense. He just goes out there and plays, man. And he went 25 for 36, 279 yards and 2 touchdowns. Just had a really, really overall solid game. McBride, 74 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the Packers were just able to stay in it. They were able to do enough, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Micah Parsons had his best game, really, of his entire career, but definitely his best game as a Green Bay Packer. He had 3 sacks on the day, which was huge for them, especially in the fourth quarter. But they made some big plays on offense. They had this huge fourth down that they were able to convert to go down the field and score. Packers would end up walking away with the win, 27-23. Then we had the Washington Commanders at my Dallas Cowboys. Now, this is the game I was talking about where Tom Brady was the color commentator on this one, talking about a fourth quarter comeback, and that did not happen for the stupid little Commanders. It did not. As a matter of fact, my Cowboys had the best game of the season. If they look like this, God, they can at least be a playoff team. If the defense can play like that, I mean, offensively, oh my God, CeeDee Lamb comes back, has 110 yards and a touchdown, and the touchdown was beautiful. It was a 74-yard, just first play on this drive as well. Dak just drops back the pass, boom, right to CeeDee. The defenders collide, and CeeDee just is able to run into the end zone for a big-ass play, and it's like, welcome back, CeeDee Lamb. George Pickens had some beautiful catches himself. Ferguson had a couple of touchdowns. Dak, beautiful day, 21 for 30, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, still no interceptions in these last 4 games. The dude is on fucking fire. Javonte Williams, 116 yards and a touchdown. Just about as perfect a game as you can have on offense. I mean, the Cowboys can score in like a matter of seconds. The 2-minute drill ain't a problem for them. I mean, they are a team that is just scoring before halftime all the time. It's so great. They have 30 seconds on the clock. It's like, so fucking what? They're going to make it down the field. We got Aubrey who could kick 60-yard field goals. He kicked a 61-yarder yesterday. It is so beautiful to see what they got going on offensively. It's the defense that's the problem. But defensively, they took care of business yesterday. The Commanders are the number one ground attack in the league. And the Cowboys are the worst ground attack in the league on defense, and they obliterated them. They weren't able to do shit on the ground. And the Commanders' receivers were dropping passes. Daniels, he was about their only spark. And then unfortunately, he hurts his hamstring midway through the game and ends up leaving the game. So they bring in Mariota, and then Mariota throws a pick six to Deron Bland. Who is had a beautiful game yesterday. That was Bland's best game since he has come back from injury as well. I mean, he was in on like every single play. He was making tackles. He was just in on the ball. You could not get past him. And then he had a pick six. And so beautiful, beautiful, beautiful game from the Dallas Cowboys overall. Got the win 44-22. Love to see it because it's a division matchup. And just always love to see them kick ass. But a perfect game. And if they could, if their defense can just play like that, or at least half like that, just get a couple of stops, this offense ain't nothing to fuck with. But we'll see what happens. It's the defense keeps getting blown up. But yesterday they played a very, very solid game. And then the Sunday Night Football matchup between the Atlanta Falcons at the San Francisco 49ers. The Falcons just laid an egg. I mean, the most Falcons way to end a half last night. So they get the ball back, and Penix is able to get them within close to field goal range. They need a little bit more to get into field goal range, but he's almost there. And he ends up dropping back to pass. He has this pass where it just lobs it out of bounds, but there isn't a receiver in sight. You know what that means. It's probably going to be intentional grounding. Now, here's the worst part of it all. There's only 10 seconds left on the clock. And if it's below the 2-minute warning, if it's below 2 minutes in the second or fourth quarter, there's an immediate 10-second run off the clock if you have an intentional grounding. And there's only 10 seconds left on the clock. So they couldn't even capitalize on the big plays they made before the half, because they could have potentially, I think at that point, the Niners were up 10-3. So they could have gone up, it would have been 10-6. So they still would have been down, but they still would have had, you know, 10-6. Because it really was a struggle all night for the Niners. The Niners weren't really able to get anything going except with McCaffrey. McCaffrey had a huge night, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns, also 72 yards receiving. So just a big night for McCaffrey. They just rode him all night. And that's how the Niners get the wins. Defensively, they were all over the field as well, all up in Penix's face, just really having just a great night overall, and the Niners got the win 20-10. All right, moving on to Monday Night Football, where we have yet again two football games, which I am finding it amusing because I'm noticing just a lot of people complaining about this two games on Monday Night Football. And I'm just sitting back like, what? I love this double Monday Night Football thing. As a matter of fact, like they keep making more and more double Monday Night. It used to only be the first week of the season would get the double Monday Nighter. Then they moved it to the second week of the season because it's like you got the Thursday night, the Friday night, the Sunday, Monday. So they moved it to the second weekend. Now it's like a good chunk of the season we're getting double Monday Night Football games. And to me, it's beautiful because it's like I get to watch the first game, watch the first two quarters of that. Then once halftime hits, I just switch it on over to the other one, watch the end of the first half of that. Usually it's about midway through the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. Watch that game until their halftime goes and switch over to the other one. Finish that game and then switch over to the other one. It's like, what the fuck is your problem? You're complaining about more football? Y'all people are nuts. And I know a lot of people don't like because they overlap. Me, I love that they overlap because, quite frankly, I fucking hate halftime. I don't want to hear people talking. I want to see football. So that's actually why I'm all about it. So we have us. Actually, I think both games are going to be good, but this first one going to be the good one. And that's Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions. I feel like this is going to be a headbanger. I feel like it's going to be Detroit offense versus Tampa Bay Bucs offense. Baker Mayfield going to be all over the field tonight. Jared Goff probably going to be lighting it up as well. I think both defenses are solid, but they're both very, very injured, especially in the secondary. So that, to me, just screams all offense, especially with the way both Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff are playing this year. Both offenses are electric. They could score at will. And I feel like that's what tonight's going to be. I feel like it's going to be back and forth. Goff, Mayfield. I'm leaning towards Detroit in this one simply because they're at home. But don't be shocked if Bake comes out there and gets the win for them. But I'm going Detroit in a close one, 41-38. The homie Simon Ruvalcaba, he's actually going with Tampa Bay in this one, 28-20. And this is our tiebreaker for the week because we both went 10-3 yesterday's games. So today's the last of our tiebreakers. We picked five different picks this week. We balanced it out yesterday. So today's our tiebreaker. So we'll see what happens there. And then the second game we have is the Houston Texans at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 3.5-point favorite. Houston has just been awful on the offensive side of the ball. This offensive line of theirs is just terrible. I actually feel bad for CJ Stroud because he's taken a lot of the heat because a lot of people are blaming him. And don't get me wrong, he's not having a perfect season. But I got to tell you, if you ain't getting any time in the pocket, it's going to be very difficult for you to find any open receivers. Because you can't find your receivers because you don't have enough fucking time. And he has no running back. There is no ground game with them at all. It's really just their defense keeps them in it. And I think that's what's going to happen here tonight. I do think their defense is going to step it up and play a solid game. But I think Seattle just is getting better every week. Defensively, they have an excellent defense, a sneaky killer defense, which I think is going to take care of business tonight. I think their defense is going to be why they get this win tonight, because I think they are just going to really just make things difficult for CJ Stroud. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up having a turnover, a costly turnover that maybe ends the game, seals the deal basically for Seattle. And I think Seattle's offense will do just enough. I mean, Houston's defense is suffocating just as much as Seattle's defense is. But Seattle's offense is better than Houston's offense. And I just think Seattle's going to do enough, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think it's going to be a good night for CJ Stroud. Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if he has like a turnover that just costs them in the end. So I've got Seattle winning a close one, 27-20. And now getting on to the baseball playoffs. So the Dodgers did what I expected them to do. They swept the Brewers, so they're just sitting back waiting for Friday to arrive, you know, going back to the World Series as they fucking do. And I wasn't even going to talk about this game, but, you know, it was quite funny. I said on my Friday show, Shohei Ohtani's the only guy so far for the Dodgers who really hasn't had a good game. He hasn't done shit in the playoffs. He had a streak of where he went like 1-for-19. So it's like, what's up with this dude? Well, he showed out in game four on Friday night. Not only did he show out, he had a historic night. So one of the great things about Ohtani is that he pitches and he hits and he's great at both of them. And we got to see that on full display in a playoff game. He pitched a beautiful gem. 10 strikeouts on the night. But that was not all, people. He also had 3 home runs. He's the first player to ever do that in a game. Yeah. So had to talk about it. But right now, Dodgers just sitting pretty, just waiting for whoever wins game 7 tonight between Toronto and Seattle. Because, you know, game 5 between Toronto and Seattle, they were able to get the big win, move on, And take game 6 back to Toronto. But Toronto showed them who's boss. Toronto got the win last night, 6-2. Vlad Guerrero had another home run. Speaking of just amazing postseason runs, Vlad Guerrero is having an amazing postseason run. And just going to toot my own horn, I called it. I said before the season, Vlad Guerrero is going to have an MVP-type year. Now, the reason why I thought he was going to have an MVP-type year is because I thought it was going to be a contract year. Because he didn't have his extension heading into the beginning of the season. Then they eventually gave him his extension early on in the season. But he did not say, oh, I'm just going to give up. No, man. He has had a playoff run for the ages. He has earned that contract just in this playoff run. Batting a .462 with 6 home runs and 9 extra base hits. And he still has a game 7 tonight. And they could potentially go on to the World Series and he can just make those stats even more beautiful. But like I said, tooting my own horn on the season that Vlad Guerrero has been having this year because I fucking called it. And good for you, dude. Good for you to show out when it is absolutely necessary. And game 7 is tonight in Toronto, and I am very torn on this one because, like I said about the Mariners, I took them in this matchup because I feel like they're the Magic team. But Toronto, they are suffocating on the offensive side. With that being said, I don't care who wins because chances are they're just going to lose to the Dodgers anyway, so who fucking cares? But we'll see. That's why they play the game. But my hopes are not high for either team to beat the Dodgers in the World Series, especially when Shohei Ohtani can pitch like that. Oh, not only Shohei Ohtani, like I said, their whole starting pitching lineup pitched fantastic throughout these playoffs, so good luck, Seattle and Toronto. You're playing a game 7 to go up against a buzzsaw. But like I said, that's why they play the game. Anybody can win, blah, 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 blah. I'll be rooting for either whoever wins the ALCS, though. Go Toronto or go Seattle. Anyways, let's move on to who I believe is going to win it all in the NBA this year. Because guess what? Season kicks off tomorrow. Lakers, Golden State Warriors. Cannot fucking wait. But let's just get started. I already went through all the teams individually, so, and the divisions and who I think is going to win. So let's just break it down on how I think the postseason is going to turn out. So in the Western Conference, my number one overall seed is the Los Angeles Lakers. Because you know what? Luka is going to have a fantastic year. He and Reeves are going to be on a murder fest. I can already tell you that. If the Lakers are just able to, because defense, I think, is going to be their problem. I'm very wary of the defense, especially because LeBron is going to miss the first month of the season. They don't even know when he's really coming back, but he's definitely missing at least the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season. But I think the good thing about that is that means the Lakers can find an identity before he inserts himself into the roster. But we're definitely going to need LeBron's defense because I don't know who else is going to be playing defense for this team. I do like what we did at the center position, and I think that Ayton's going to help in the paint. But defensively, we'll see what's up with the Lakers. But I just think it's really going to be just a great year for Luka, for Reeves. I think they're going to set the pace without LeBron. Then LeBron's going to come in, and they're just really going to take over and have a really solid year. Finishing in second place in the West, Western Conference, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just think for the Thunder, they're in the most difficult division in the league. So that division is just naturally going to beat up on each other. And don't get me wrong, OKC going to be a good team. I have no doubt that this is going to be a competitive team. They are the defending champs for a reason. They did not lose any players. As a matter of fact, I think they're better because they were all young players who have now gained a whole bunch of experience in winning a championship. So this might actually be the beginning of a dynasty or just one of those fluky seasons. We'll see. But I like what I saw, what I've seen from Oklahoma City over the years. And I just expect them to have another good year. But I just kind of feel like what's going to cost them in the standings is going to be being in such a tough division. Finishing in third place in the Western Conference, I have the Houston Rockets. As I said, Kevin Durant, to me, was the missing piece to this team. They just needed that veteran presence, and Kevin Durant is going to bring them that veteran presence. He's won championships. He is an excellent scorer, and I just think he's going to step in and be the difference for them. I expect Houston to really just ride with it this year, and I actually think they're going to make a really nice playoff run for once as well. Last year, it was kind of like, do I believe in them? Do I believe in them? I really just felt they needed that last dude, and I think Kevin Durant fits this system perfectly, and I think they're gonna make a nice run this year. Then finishing in fourth place in the Western Conference, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just think they're going to take the next step this year. I just kind of see Anthony Edwards having just a monster season. I just feel like he's going to come out and have an MVP type season where he is just not going to let anybody stop him. And I liked what I saw from Randall fitting in last year. Defensively, he gave them that defensive edge that they were missing. It's just Gobert is such a twat. He's just such a weak ass center. I just can't believe in that dude. I'm kind of like thinking they just need to trade his ass away and get somebody more legit. Because like I said, Randall, he gives them that extra defensive edge. But then you go up against Gobert, and that dude's just a pussy in the middle. Then at number five, finishing in fifth place in the Western Conference, I have the Golden State Warriors. I just think a season with an off season where they're able to get Jimmy Butler in. I think Butler and Curry, it was obvious that they fit together well last year. Steph is going to be the outside dude. He's going to knock down all the key shots. He's going to knock down all the three-pointers. He's going to be the reliable scorer. Jimmy's gonna be the guy in the middle who gets it done. He's gonna get in there. He's gonna make the scrappy plays. He's gonna get in with the crazy rebounds. He's gonna get in with the layups, and he's gonna do all the grimy work that Steph can't do. And I really see this team being not as... I don't think they're going to be very potent offensively, but I think they're going to get the job done. They've got a lot of old guys, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's one of those injury-prone seasons where it's like somebody's out, somebody's in, somebody's out, somebody's in. But I still think they have a solid roster, and I like what I see between Steph and Jimmy, just how they complement each other with one on the outside and the other in the, on the inside. Finishing in sixth place in the Western Conference, I have the Denver Nuggets. I like this team. I mean, Jokic is a fantastic player, but they're so weird to predict, and they kind of remind me of the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, the Bucks, they won a few years ago with Giannis. It felt like they were going to just come out of there and become the next dynasty and hopefully get a couple more championships for Giannis, and then they just completely fell apart. And I just kind of get that vibe from this Denver Nuggets team. They've got a lot of good pieces. They're still the same core. Jokic is Mr. Reliable. I mean, I expect Jokic to do what Jokic do. Come out, be the triple-double king, and just keep on winning. I just think it's everybody around him is not reliable. A lot of injuries from last year. Wouldn't be shocked if that's just kind of the thing this year. Also in a stacked division who is just going to beat up on each other. And I, of course, just think Oklahoma City and Minnesota are younger and better than Denver. But I still think Denver's a solid team. So I've got them making the playoffs. But I just kind of see them having a similar season to last year. Finishing in seventh place in the Western Conference, I had the San Antonio Spurs. I think this is going to be a much improved team. I don't think they're going to be the biggest threat. Obviously, I don't think they're winning a championship this year, but I think they're just slowly building. They've been slowly building. You know, you get Wembanyama, who's obviously a dude. He's going to be one of the best players in the league. I mean, he's already proven just what an alien he is, how just unique he is, the type, just how just he could rebound, he could shoot from the three, he could shoot inside. He's just so great. And he blocks. He's just so amazing in every way, shape, and form. It's just he needs the rest of the guys around him, the young guys, to start becoming better. But also, he needs some veterans. And I think, you know, De'Aaron Fox, he's going to start the season on the injured list this year. So I think he's definitely going to help once he gets healthy. And so I kind of feel like the Spurs are going to be a second-half team who just turns it on. But I think they're definitely going to make more noise than they have in the past. And I think they're actually going to be one of the teams that actually slides in and makes the playoffs this year. And then finishing in eighth place this year in the Western Conference, I had the Memphis Grizzlies. They already have injury issues right now. Jaw's injured. Edie's injured. Jackson's injured. They don't know who's playing in game one. Edie is going to be missing an extended period of time. And he was huge for them last year. So I think this is another team that's going to struggle for a little bit. But then once we get towards the second half of the season, they might turn it on and become a second half team who makes a little bit of a playoff run there. Then in the Eastern Conference, finishing in first place, I have the New York Knicks. As I said when I was going over the Knicks, they are an excellent team. They just kept falling short, so they decided to get rid of Tibbs and hire Mike Brown. Mike Brown is always great in the first season he takes over, so I feel like the Knicks are going to excel this year, especially because Boston has all the injury issues, and so that's definitely going to help the Knicks out. Because the Eastern Conference is still garbage compared to the West. The Western Conference is going to be stacked as fuck, whereas the Eastern Conference is basically going to be the Knicks, Cleveland, and everybody else. We'll see what happens there. But the Knicks, I feel like they're going to come out, be one of the best defensive teams. I think Brunson's going to continue his amazing run that he's had since he became a New York Knick. And like I said, Mike Brown teams, usually the first season he takes over, always have, they usually excel. Finishing in second place in the Eastern Conference, I've got the Cleveland Cavaliers because to me, the only two solid teams are in the Eastern Conference are the Knicks and the Cavaliers, at least just right now. Obviously, who knows how the season's going to pan out, but to me, there is not a team in the Eastern Conference other than the Knicks or the Cavaliers who have like a legit roster, legit squad, and can put it together offensively and defensively. Everybody else is just meh. Cleveland, though, has a very solid roster. And I just kind of feel like they're going, you know, you got Donovan Mitchell, who just keeps getting better and better every year. So I expect him to continue to excel. They have a couple of guys who are coming off of injuries as well. But this is the, like I keep saying about the Eastern Conference, it's going to be New York, Cleveland, everybody else. Finishing in third place in the Eastern Conference, I have the Miami Heat because they're in a terrible division. They're not a very good team. They have a very mediocre roster at best, but it's the Eastern Conference and there's not a lot of competition. So I've got Miami winning their division. Then finishing in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, I have the Boston Celtics because I just think they're going to struggle without Tatum this year. He tore his Achilles towards the end of last year, and so he may not be back this year. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back at some point this year. But this is an Achilles we're talking about, and these are basketball players, and Achilles is a big friggin' deal if you're a basketball player. So, and he's not the only guy right now. I mean, there's potential that Brown may not be playing in their first game to start the season. So I just kind of feel like it's going to be a long season for the Celtics, but since it's the Eastern Conference, they're still going to, and they've got a solid roster, but they're just going to be missing their dude, Tatum, all season. And I don't really think that's going to be a good thing for them. So I just think Boston's going to have a roller coaster type season. But since the Eastern Conference is terrible, they're still going to make the playoffs. Finishing in fifth place in the Eastern Conference, it really just depends on what the hell happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I've got the Milwaukee Bucks finishing in fifth place. But even with Giannis, I don't think they're going to be a good team. They've already talked about how they've had tons of offers for Giannis. It's just they haven't got the right offer. So obviously they're willing to listen. And I think Giannis is cool with staying, but obviously he can go. And I mean, I've heard teams that are interested in him, one of them being the Knicks. Obviously, he's going to want to trade to the motherfucking Knicks over the Bucks. He at least has a shot at a championship if he goes to the Knicks. But hey, who knows? He's probably going to end up staying with the Bucks. It just depends. So it's going to be one of those years where is he getting traded? Is he not getting traded? And I feel like we're going to hear that all the way up until the trade deadline. But with that being said, it's still the Eastern Conference. And if they have Giannis playing, the Bucks should still be a decent team. So I've got them finishing in fifth place. Finishing in sixth place in the Eastern Conference, to me, is the team that's most up in the air. I think they have potential to win their division, but I gotta see it. I gotta see it out on that court before I could take them, and that's the Orlando Magic. I think they have the potential to finally usurp Miami this year because Miami's roster just not that good. I just lean towards Miami because of their experience. Spoelstra's a good coach, and they're more reliable, whereas Orlando, let's see what we get from them. But last year, they did have a very solid year. It just was injury after injury after injury. So if they're able to stay healthy this year and pick up where they left off last year before all the injuries, they got a pretty solid chance. But like I said, until they prove it, I can't pick them to win the division, but I still got them making the playoffs. Finishing in seventh place in the Eastern Conference at the Indiana Pacers. Another team, you know, they were just in the NBA Finals, but they're missing their dude. And with no Halliburton, I think it's just going to be a long year. I don't really expect to see Halliburton back at all this year. Potential, but I doubt it. And even so, if he comes back, that I just kind of feel like it's going to be too much for the Pacers this year. I've got them making the playoffs, obviously, but that's really just because the Eastern Conference is garbage. And they do have a solid roster, but they don't have Halliburton, and he is why they made it to the finals last year. Let's just be real. And then rounding out the Eastern Conference, I have the Detroit Pistons in eighth place. You know, I like the Pistons. I think they're a really good team. I think they have the potential to be one of the best teams in the league this year, but to me, they're like Orlando. I need to see them prove it again this year. I do have them making the playoffs, but until they prove it, we'll see. But I kind of feel like they might be a team that could turn it on this year simply because the Eastern Conference is trash and maybe they'll be able to take over these other teams and take advantage of all the injuries throughout the Eastern Conference. So moving on to how I feel like the rest of the playoffs are going to pan out. In the first round, I have The Memphis Grizzlies versus the Lakers with the Lakers moving on. San Antonio Spurs versus the Oklahoma City Thunder with the Thunder moving on. Denver Nuggets versus the Houston Rockets with the Rockets moving on. And the Golden State Warriors versus the Minnesota Timberwolves with the Timberwolves moving on. First round Eastern Conference matchups, Detroit Pistons versus the New York Knicks with the Knicks moving on. Indiana Pacers versus the Cleveland Cavaliers with the Cavaliers moving on. Orlando Magic versus the Miami Heat with Orlando moving on. And the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics with Milwaukee moving on. Conference semifinals, Western Conference semifinals, I have Minnesota versus the Los Angeles Lakers. I have the Lakers moving on. And the Houston Rockets versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, I have the Houston Rockets moving on. Eastern Conference semifinals, we have the Orlando Magic versus the New York Knicks. I have the Knicks moving on. And the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, I have the Cavaliers moving on. So my Western Conference Finals, I have the Houston Rockets versus Los Angeles Lakers. I've got the Lakers moving on. And my Eastern Conference Finals, Cleveland Cavaliers versus the New York Knicks with the New York Knicks moving on. So my NBA Finals will be a doozy. Los Angeles Lakers versus the New York Knicks. The NBA would love that because that would be great for the ratings. And of course, I've got my Lakers winning it all because, like I said, I feel like they're going to put it together with Luka. I think Luka's going to be, you know, Luka hasn't even reached his peak yet. So I just feel like Luka's going to go on a tear this year. He looks great. I mean, you could tell the dude's just been working out. He had a fantastic summer league this year. And I just feel like Luka's going to go off this year. I mean, Luka always has the potential to go off, but he has not reached his peak. I just think he's going to have a fantastic year. I think with the chemistry I saw from him and Reeves last year, I think they're only going to build off of that and then just insert LeBron, and he's just going to come in, do what LeBron needs to do, play defense, make big plays when necessary, and it's just Luka's team this year. So I've got the Lakers winning it all because they're a good-ass team, and also I'm a Lakers fan, so duh. But that's how I've got the NBA panning out this year. But, you know, the season starts tomorrow, so we've got a long way to see who ends up with the NBA Finals. But we've got a lot to go on this year. I think the Western Conference is going to beat each other up, whereas the Eastern Conference is going to be Knicks, Cleveland, and maybe some surprise team will come out of nowhere. But I think the Eastern Conference is going to suck, and the Western Conference is going to be real good. So that's what I've got going on for the NBA. So enjoy the kickoff of the season tomorrow and enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.